The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Business Liaisons, Connection Matters, with your host, Treste Loving. In today's thriving organizations, it's all about staying ahead of the curve through strategies, relationships, and forward-thinking ideas. Don't be left in the cold with your business. The next hour is a must-listen. Now, here is Treste Loving.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Business Liaisons, Connection Matters. I'm your host, Treste Loving, and as always, I'm totally happy with all of you. Today, it's me and you again, so prepare yourself for another riveting discussion. And, of course, I'll be providing a different perspective because that's what I'm all about, and you know that. My 2-minute and 2-second segment is a brief observation of a news headline or story that's about diversity to remind all you CEOs and business owners out there that what happens outside your organization happens inside your organization. So today's 2 and 2 is another huge headline. I'm sure you've been hearing about it over the last week and a half or 2 weeks. And it's about MSNBC. They seem to be having a little trouble with some of their hosts for their shows there. And this one is about Mitt Romney's new grandson, who is black and was affectionately nicknamed Token on MSNBC's show, Melissa Harry Perry. And for your consideration, I offer these items. First, does calling Mitt Romney's grandson a token make an actual point about the lack of diversity in the GOP? Second, this statement I used last week, and unfortunately, it's fitting again this week. Ignorance can disguise itself as knowledge until it speaks, then there is no doubt it is ignorance. Third, now apologies must be solicited rather than people taking responsibility for offending others. Fourth, Melissa Harris Perry proves that someone from one race can offend members of their own race. And finally, you can't splice life, unlike a movie. So once it is out there, it cannot be unsaid. So that's my 2 and 2 for you this week, and hopefully you'll give it some thought. Now it's time for you to be prepared and be totally rocked by today's show. And this will be the last Me and You show for a little bit. Next week I'm going to have a guest, so I know you'll be excited about that. I'm excited about next week's guest myself. But until next week, I'm going to be providing you once again with some actual examples, and they're going to all be about me, so I'm going to put myself out there for you so you can really absorb what I have to tell you this week. And it's going to be dealing with communications. And how fitting did my 2 and 2 come into what I was actually, I planned to talk about anyway, which was communications. And how communication damages professional relationship when it's not effective. So I'm going to be covering some pretty basic stuff this evening and probably some things as a CEO and business owner you've never really given much consideration to. I'm going to be covering the communication loop that leaders have somehow just totally forgotten about and they don't use very effectively anymore. Then I'm going to describe some intercultural communications, and I'm going to wrap all that up with some real examples, and as I said, they'll be about myself. and some solutions to intercultural communications miscues. And I'm also, for your pleasure and something specifically for my listeners, I'm going to be gifting some more of those StratDat sessions that I offered last week that I uniquely designed, and they can be tailored, and they will be tailored for your organization. So I have another show that's power-packed, and I want to go ahead and get started right now. The communication loop that I was taught when I was in school, and that includes high school and junior high, and that I also was taught a little bit about when I was in college getting my international business degree, date back as far as, get this, 1954. And I believe, and I know, it is still the best way to ensure successful communications. And I'm going to describe this to you really quick, but it's going to be pretty in-depth for the amount of time I'm going to spend on it, because I really want you to remember this and really get it down so you're using it in your business, and it has to be on a daily basis. Basically, the sender sends the message, and the receiver receives the message, and to ensure the message was understood, it is the sender's responsibility to check by requesting feedback. And you can probably remember what that whole diagram looks like. Sometimes it was squares all the way across with some arrows pointing back to each other, or sometimes they were circles or whatever you. There are so many designs of and diagrams of the communication loop, but you get the picture. And if not, you can always look it up, because there's plenty of diagrams available on the internet. Now, it was, as I said, it was the sender's responsibility to check the understanding of the message by the receiver. But there's so much that happens between the sending and the receiving of the message, and that was primarily filtering, and that was always in the middle. Now, filtering happens, and it encompasses, like, values, belief systems, how we were raised. All those things is how we as senders and receivers filter our message. And so that's why it's, you know, very important that we check as senders to make sure the message was received by the receiver as we meant it to be, and that it will be acted upon correctly if it's necessary. Now, in the communication loop, the sender and the receiver both have, like, really great responsibilities to make sure good communications flow has occurred and to alleviate as much misunderstanding as feasible. Now, a critical part of the loop, the communication loop, is active listening. And if you study anything about listening, you have three levels. You have hearing, you have listening, and you have active listening, which is the highest level of listening, and it is the most important level of listening, because as it says, that means you're involved in the conversation, truly involved in the conversation. And active listening entails, from the receiver's end, actually leaning into the sender so you can really hear what they're saying. It involves usually some type of repeating or paraphrasing back to the sender to make sure you know what the sender's saying. And sometimes you even go back to the sender by asking questions for clarification. So that proves to you that you were listening and understood. That also proves to the sender that you understood. And on the sender's part for active listening, they actually say, yes, that was true. I see that you were listening, and that's what I want to happen. You've probably heard this statistic as well. 93% of a message is communicated through our nonverbals, or what I'm going to shorten up to say nonverbs. And only 7% is actually the words that we choose to use. Now, nonverbs involve so much. Nonverb involves our gestures with our hands and our body language. It involves our facial expressions. And it also involves tone. And tone is a really big part of our non-verbs. And I want to give you two really good examples of tone and show you just how important and how much tone or non-verbs play into the actual sending of a message and not really how much the words really play into it. So here's my first example of tone as I communicate a message to you. First, I'm really angry with you right now. I could just totally scream. Please get out of my face before I say something we will both regret. Now, that was tone number one. Now, here's a message using a totally different tone. You are totally awesome. You excelled in this job you did. I am so proud of you. Great job. So what do you think about tone? I said words, but did you really hear what I said? Were you really thrown off by the tone I was used compared to the words I said? Think about that. Don't forget, 93% non-verbs, 7% the words. Now, I know some of you might be thinking about the communication loop and saying, the communication loop can never work, particularly with our Gen Ys who are in the workforce today. They don't talk to people. They walk around with a device in their hand, and that's what they use. Let me challenge you on that right now, because the communication loop is just as effective written or verbal. Here's an example. When texting to a Gen Y, you can actually get feedback and have a successful communication loop. So you text something to Gen Y, and you can get feedback by checking their tone in their response. You can check for comprehension, you can check for understanding, and you can check for response time. And all that will let you know, just in their text response, if they understood. And you'll see what I'm talking about here. If you get a response back that's in all caps, it's bolded, it's underlined, and you have a frown face at the end of that with a question mark, odds are, your message didn't get through. And remember, I talked about response time. Gen Ys are really quick on the uptake. They generally understand what you're communicating to them. But what if it takes about 10 minutes, and then after 10 minutes you don't hear anything back from one of them? You know the message didn't get through. Really obvious. So what you need to do is to immediately go find that Gen Y you text something to and say, hey, I can tell by your response, I don't think you understood what I told you or what I sent to you. Is that correct? And you'll probably be able to tell by their facial expression that, no, they didn't understand. All you need to do now, once you have them right at you, looking at you face-to-face, is communicate like you would normally do using the communication loop once again. You can tell it to them. You can tell by their response back to you that they didn't understand. You go through the normal communication loop asking for feedback, and you can get it resolved. So, as you can see, that the communication loop works just as well verbally as it does in written communication. And so there's no excuse, not for any CEO, business owner, senior executive, or leader in an organization not to shake off all that dust or find on the internet the communication loop, grab it, and get it out and start using it, because that's definitely going to help you in communications today and keep you from making any miscues. And you need to use the communication loop throughout all areas and all levels of your organization. from CEO down to your most junior employee, and you need to use it horizontally throughout your organization, from your suppliers all the way through to your customers and your clients. You really need to make that happen, because you are not going to be successful communicating, and that is going to have a tremendous impact on your organization's success as a whole. So the communication loop is there for you. Don't forget, it's 93% nonverbs the way we communicate. 7% are the words. And don't forget how important of that 93% your tone can be when you're speaking, because tone means everything. And don't forget, it works equally as well verbally as it does when you're writing something to someone. And you can't use the excuse that Gen Y doesn't talk to you, so you can't use the communication loop, because obviously you can. And that's what I like about the communication loop, because 1954 is, as far as I could find, that it dated back to, but we're talking now 2014, and it's still just as good and probably should be the standard that we all use as far as great communications. So what I'd like to do now is to kind of just, as I just did, I wrap that up, and I'm really eager to move into the next segment where we're going to be talking about intercultural communications, because global organizations need to understand intercultural communications, and the same 93%, 7% totally goes with intercultural communications. And what you're going to find out in the next segment is, not only are we talking global communications outside your organization, that's going to ring true inside your organization, and we're going to talk about how important it is when we're talking about that nationally, what you need to be aware of in the different regions of the U.S. So I know I've told you this before, but I want to reiterate right now that when I say global, global means also nationally, because your global organization is right outside your organization. It's in your neighborhood. It's in your region. It's across the U.S. So never forget that when I speak global. So in the next segment, I'm going to describe the various ways that intercultural communication happens, and what you need to know as a CEO, business owner, senior executive, or a leader as far as intercultural communication happens, and what you need to be aware of for yourself. And then I'm also going to talk more again about that Strat session that I'm going to continue to offer for some of, well, I'm going to offer it to all of you, but I'm going to tell you how I can qualify for one of those Strat sessions. And you're not going to want to miss out on this opportunity, because it is totally rocking, and I will definitely tailor it for your organization. And there's nothing out there like the Strat program. And I can attest to that, because I've seen many other organizations offer something similar, but not this good. Trust me on that. So you don't want to miss anything that's going on right now during the show and what's coming up. So I want you to stay tuned, because we're going to be right back.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Have you forgotten your dream? Maybe you've worked long and hard to continue working long and hard. Is this the American dream? What if there was another way? Find out by tuning into No Plan B with host William Speak. You'll have a chance to move to the next level and really enjoy life by doing what you really want to do instead of what you're doing now. We'll explain how to make residual income work for you. It's legal, safe, and a lot of fun. No Plan B can be heard live every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Business.
What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace speak at a glance without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. This is Business Liaisons with Treste Loving. To reach the host or guests today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. Now, back to Business Liaisons. Connection matters.
I am back, and welcome back to you. And I do want to remind you that you're listening to Voice America Business Channel. Now, before I get back into this awesome discussion about communications and nonverbs, I want to talk a little bit more about that StratThat session that I'm offering you to qualify for. Now, when I talk about StratThat, what I'm going to be assessing for your organization is your global palm print, not your footprint, but your palm print. And I think it's important to distinguish the difference between those two, at least in my world. When I talk about palm print, excuse me, your palm print is something that you reach out toward. You're reaching out in a global market. You're reaching out in your global world, and you reach out with your hand. And that's one part of the palm print. And I'm going to save the rest of the palm print discussion to later. But your global palm print is how you, as a unique organization, bring in your global talent. It's the way you bring in global customers and clients. And the way I assess that for you is unique and is actually a program that I developed, and the StratThat session is actually a 35-minute session that I will do for you. And it's really easy to qualify for, and I know you're going to love it once I conduct the session with you, and that you're going to be wanting more and desiring more, and you'll want to easily move into that StratThat program. So why not contact me for a 35-minute global StratThat session and see what it's all about. And I'll guarantee you, you'll definitely want more. So if you have questions or comments about that, or definitely about the communications that I'm talking about this evening, why don't you call me at 1-866-472-5790 or email me at tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. So let me jump back in here to communications. And since we're talking global, I really want to talk about how each culture has their own unique communication style. And since nonverbal communications, don't forget, is 93% nonverbs and 7% words, how you communicate as a CEO and business owner, you must be astute in reading those nonverbs across cultures. And you must be able to express the proper nonverb at the right time with the right culture. Because nonverbs in one culture are good, but the same nonverb will not be good in another culture. And that's true of just about all nonverbs. Now, you will find that some nonverbs are the same for a few cultures, but you can't guarantee that. So that's why, as a CEO or business owner, you can't, I'm just going to learn these nonverbs, and that will get me through for all the cultures, because that's when you're going to find yourself in trouble. And I'm going to start with the most frequent nonverb that we have, and that's our facial expressions. Me personally, I know my facial expressions definitely are, they used to call me face when I was in the Navy, because I would react with my facial expressions and I wouldn't even know I was making them. So I definitely had to get control of my facial expressions. And the thing about our, in most of our nonverbs, and particularly our facial expressions, is that we do them subconsciously. We have no idea sometimes that we're responding that way with our nonverbs. So I'm going to start off generally, and I'm going to start here in the U.S. And we often smile in public, even at strangers. Now, this occurs more often in the South and in California. However, in Russia, they consider smiling at strangers in public unusual, and they even consider it suspicious behavior. In Southeast Asian cultures, a smile can frequently be used to cover emotional pain or embarrassment. Now, see how those two cultures are totally different with the same smile. And that's why it's important for CEOs and business owners to really understand the differences in nonverbs across cultures. You just can't remember a smile and say, oh, okay, I remember what it's like here in the U.S., so that'll get me through every other culture, because it definitely will not. Let's talk about another nonverb, which is eye contact. Now, some of you are familiar with some of these nonverbs with particular cultures, and that's good. But you still need to understand that that is not the same with all cultures. Eye contact, in general here in North America, if we don't have eye contact with someone we're speaking to in business, particularly if we're a leader and we're speaking to someone junior to us, we believe that that person is being deceitful or they're hiding something. They may even be lying to us. So we don't go for that. However, in big cities in the U.S., eye contact with strangers rarely even happens. And again, in the South and on the West Coast, it happens nearly all the time, eye contact with strangers. Now, in Asian countries, most of us are familiar with eye contact, knowing that Asians consider it disrespectful to give eye contact to someone who is senior to them in work, and also toward their elders. They consider it very disrespectful, so they're not going to give eye contact to anyone in those positions. However, in Arab or Indian cultures, they tend to gaze at people. And so when someone is gazing at us here in North America, we get totally uncomfortable with that. We want some eye contact, but don't stare me down. We sometimes even get angry if somebody's looking at us, gazing at us, because we consider that a stare down. It's like, I'm not having that. So see how those nuances change throughout cultures. Now, in India, there is an exception to a gaze. Women who live in India are not allowed to give direct eye contact to males in their country, because that would be them considering themselves equal to males in their country, and men do not allow that whatsoever. So that's not going to happen. Now, moving on to another nonverb when we're talking about communications in a difference is in the distance when we're having a conversation, the distance between two people. Here in America, generally speaking, you know, we love our personal space unless we have a personal relationship with someone. But generally speaking, when we're in a business conversation or a conversation between someone we really don't know very well, we need our personal or our comfort zone. And that's an arm's length up to 4 feet away from the person. Now, in comparison to that, Japanese employer-to-employee conversation, they tend to stand a little bit further apart than the 4 feet. So that distance is not as comfortable with them unless it's beyond the 4 feet. Not much further, but a little beyond. But in Latin America and with Arabs, they tend to stand close together when they're conducting business. And they also, and sometimes it's just inches away from each other. And that also happens in the United Kingdom, particularly in, particularly in the United Kingdom, that's how the Brits talk to each other, fairly close to each other. Now, CEOs, so this just tells you that CEOs and business owners out there, you must clearly see that global business communications must be considered at all times, or misunderstandings can easily occur. They have easily occurred, and they can derail business progress, or they can, or bad things can happen, period, with business miscommunications if you're not understanding whom you're speaking to. Additionally, let's bring this closer to home. With different ethnic groups right here in the United States, we have our own comfort zones, and that impacts communications within an organization. And leaders must understand that they will not attain sustained success without focused attention on internal, cultural, and ethnic nonverbal communications. And I will start with African Americans or blacks, because I'm one of those. And we tend to stand close to each other when we're speaking to one another. However, when we're speaking to others, we tend to stand further apart. We just tend to stand at a greater distance. Native Americans usually prefer to stand side by side rather than face to face with fellow Native Americans. However, when they're speaking to others, they prefer to stand at least an arm length apart. Caucasians prefer to stand that arm's length or 2 to 3 feet away from the person that they're talking to. Asian Americans are the same as I described earlier in Japanese culture. They tend to stand a little bit further than Caucasians do when they're speaking to someone. And finally, Latino Americans are the same as I spoke about in the Latino culture. They tend to stand a little bit closer than Caucasians do when they're speaking in business. Again, I bring this up because internally in an organization, if a CEO or business owner is trying to take their business to the next level, they need to make sure they're communicating effectively within their organization so their organization can effectively speak globally outside their organization effectively. And again, we're talking about that 93% of communications in the nonverbal realm. And I've only covered just a few nonverbal communication examples. And so there are so many more out there. And so you have to know as many as possible to avoid the miscues and to avoid having your organization develop a bad reputation and develop a stigma of not being able to communicate effectively with other ethnic groups or other cultures, because that stigma was spread like wildfire. So some of you might be concerned with what I'm saying, as in, so are you telling me as a CEO business owner that I always have to bend and, submit to someone else's culture to be successful in business? And pretty much, that's what I'm saying. If you are trying to create a joint venture partnership, if you're trying to create a partnership, if you're trying to move into a global market, or if you're trying to move into a market here in the U.S., yes, to be successful, you have to communicate on their level. I mean, that is almost a no-brainer. Think about it locally first, and then you can easily apply it to globally, internationally. If your organization is trying to move into a different market right outside your organization, you have to market, you have to speak that person's language, if you will. You have to be attuned to how they communicate so you can communicate the way they do to find out what are their needs, what are their desires, what are they looking for. Because if you don't communicate that way, you're not going to get anywhere in that new market. So that makes sense. So you just need to take that to the bigger level, to the international market, to the truly global market, and it's the same thing. Now, the global market, if they're trying to start a joint venture with you, a partnership with you, trying to get you to be a customer or client, they do the exact same thing. And you've seen it. You've witnessed it. They communicate on your level. They come to you and they communicate using your non-verbs. They come to you and communicate in your way, in your fashion, so you understand it. So it's mutual. So you're not doing anything that someone else is not going to do toward you to get business and to become successful. That's what I'm talking about. Hopefully this is taking form, taking shape to you, and you're really understanding what I'm trying to get across, that to be successful, you have to communicate in their arena, in their world. So this is, wow, this time is flying by here, and I'm hoping you're really getting what I'm talking about. And so what I'm going to do in my next segment, I'm going to give you those real examples that I've gone through to kind of remedy communication miscues and to tell you what to look for so you don't even have those miscues. And then I'm going to give you the final details so you can become eligible for one of my StratDat sessions. So I don't want you to move. I don't want you to go anywhere because the best is yet to come. So you sit there and I'll be right back.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business. In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Business Liaisons with Treste Loving. To reach the host or guests today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. Now, back to Business Liaisons. Connection matters.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. I'm Treste Loving, and we're going to finish this up talking about communications and nonverbs and intercultural communications and all that fun stuff to help make you successful. But before I get there, I do want to tell you the final information you need to qualify for one of my StratBat sessions. And the StratBat session, as I said before, it's a way for me to help you assess your global palm print. And the palm print is the way that you reach out to others around the globe to do business with them and to walk with them and lead them to a better way of business, to lead them to a better way of life, whatever your business does. And this StratBat session is unique. I built it from scratch, based on my experiences, based on my research, based on my knowledge, and I know this is an awesome tool for any organization out there who's wanting to be a phenomenal success, not just a success, but not just a great success, but a phenomenal success. And that's what I'm committed to for you. Now, the StratBat session is a 35-minute session, and I will show you some actionable data that you'll be able to take immediately to start you on the path to phenomenal success. What all you need to do is to send me an email to tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. The subject will be StratBat, spelt StratBat, to January, the date of this show. I will send you a 4-question eligibility form. The questions take between 5 and 10 minutes to answer. You'll send that back to me. I will assess it. I'll send you something back saying, yes, you qualify, and we'll go from there. I need you to have that completed eligibility form back to me by 9 January. That's next Thursday, the date of my next show. I really don't want you to miss out on this. Again, you'll get immediate actionable data that you can start putting in place. And I really want this for you. So don't forget, email me at tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. Subject line, StratBat, StratBat, to January. And I look forward to working with you. Now I want to get to the best part probably of this communication discussion today, and that is to answer 2 questions for you. What can you do to avoid communication miscues, and can you recover from one? These are 2 questions that a CEO and business owner should be asking daily. This is not a quarterly question. This is not a monthly question. This is not a semi-annual question. This is a daily question because you communicate daily. And I'm going to answer these for you right now. So if you haven't been taking notes, which I should have reminded you at the top of the show, you want to start taking notes now because I'm going to give you my real life experiences so you can learn from, as I'm going to tell you later, my battle scars so you don't have any battle scars. So first, like any other business principle, a good, a fantastic, a totally awesome CEO, business owner, senior executive, or leader will be proactive in their communications, just like you are proactive with any other business principle you have going on. You must be totally aware of your own nonverbal communications, because don't forget, 93% of the way you communicate is nonverbally, 7% are only the words. You have to be aware at all times, and I said this the last segment, but I'm going to say it again because it's worth repeating, because nonverbs are subconsciously done. You do them without thinking. You do them without awareness. So you have to realize what you do subconsciously so you can stop doing it and you can make conscious nonverbal actions. For example, my first experience I want to share with you. Because I am black, one of the things that we are used to doing as blacks or African Americans is we tend to touch each other when we're speaking. When I came in the Navy, that was a bad nonverb I did, and I did not realize I was doing it until people started giving me feedback on it. And I said, hey, I can't be doing that. So I consciously had to make the decision to stop it. And it took me a while, but I was successful at stopping it. So that's what you got to do. You have to listen to the feedback, and you have to control your behaviors. When you, as a leader, are conducting business with someone, let's say from Latin America, let's start with that one. Don't forget, people from Latin America, or Latin Americans like to be close when they speak, closer than we are used to. If I use this for an example, than we are here in the United States. So when you are speaking to them, conducting business, you can't start leaning back because you feel too close, that they are too close to you for your comfort level. That's just wrong. Imagine what that feels like if you're a Latin American. They're looking at you trying to figure out what is wrong with them. Why are they leaning away from me? What is it about me they don't like? That's what's going through their head. They're not paying any attention to what you're saying, right? 7% of the words, 93% of the nonverbs. Don't do it. Remember, if that's what you do, and change your behaviors. Additionally, a CEO or business owner must not try to make eye contact with one of their Asian American executives who work for them. Because if they're trying to do that in a meeting, they make that executive uncomfortable. Once again, the executive is thinking, don't they know how uncomfortable this is making me? Because they're my superior. If I look at them, that's disrespecting me. I'm disrespecting them. Don't they understand that? Why don't they understand that? I can't believe they don't know that. That's undermining you as the authority. That's taking something away from you as a senior executive. You don't want to be put in that type of position. You can't afford to be put in that type of position. You can't have a successful organization, and you cannot communicate effectively with your own people. I said that in the last segment. I want to reiterate it here. You have to be successful with your internal communications, or else you will not be successful externally. Your organization will not succeed. So you have to know your own nonverbal communications, get a hold of them, change your behavior to be successful. Remember, before you start talking to someone, who you're going to be communicating with. Change your behavior before you start attempting the communication, and have your behavior according to who you're communicating with. So your communication will be effective, and you get across what you need to get across, and things are productive. Business happens because you're communicating in a business sense. Now, communication miscues will happen. I mean, that's just saying that, that's like saying nothing bad will ever happen. It will happen. But don't forget that business communication miscommunications can happen right here in the U.S., as I pointed out, with different regions in the U.S. So you have to be attuned to that. I am originally from Kentucky. And when I first joined the Navy, and I do it still today, I look strangers in the eyes and I say hello. Now, on the street, that's neither here nor there. But I finally figured out that I am not, that people looked at me like I was a stranger. There was something wrong with me. And in business, that created some communication tension that didn't need to be there. So I had to start adjusting my behavior immediately so communication would be possible and they would be positive. So how can an organization, CEO, business owner, leader, senior executive, recover from a communication miscue? It's real easy. They just have to admit that they were wrong, be sincere about that, and be willing to say, I made a mistake, and be willing to accept that mistake. They can't try to justify it. They just have to say, I was wrong, and let's move forward. That's the best way you can make it happen. Like I said, learn from my battle scars. Don't forget, we don't know what we don't know, and that's why I love what I do. So before I wrap the show, I want to thank you all for hanging out with me once again today. Don't forget to send me the email for the Strat That session. Join me next week when I will have guests back on my show. But until then, remember this. Diversity is the link that unites us all. So take a look at who you are connected to because it is powerful. So take care and we'll talk soon. Ciao.
Thank you for being a part of Business Liaisons. Connection matters. Be sure to join Treste Loving again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, for another show on the Voice America Business Channel. Remember, it's the connections that you make that matter.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.